John chapter 20. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. A lot of misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit. A lot of false teaching about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say something. I don't want you to think bad about me because I'm not trying to sound proud or anything. But there's a lot of ignorance about the Holy Spirit. Biblical ignorance about the Holy Spirit. And I hate to use this word, but it's fanaticism. Fanaticism. They go crazy over the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And they go to seed on it. And so that's all they talk about. And I'd like to tonight and probably next week too at least show you some scriptures that you can see who the Holy Spirit is. And so in John chapter 20, Jesus is speaking. And I want you to notice what he says to his disciples here. And we'll start in verse 19 of John chapter 20. Now, of course, in verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she'd seen the Lord and that he'd spoken unto her after his resurrection. So there in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, see, they were still afraid the Jews were going to kill them, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now I want you to think about this. He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, this is going to blow some of you ideas about the disciples. Until this day, they were not even saved.
Amen.
Now, they would have went to paradise if they died because they were looking for a coming Savior. But that Savior would have had to be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, die in our place, die a sinner's death, and resurrect from the grave the third day before they could be saved. So they were disciples, they were followers of the teachings of Christ, but they were not born again until this day. Because what you're going to do, you're going to take me over to Acts chapter 2 where it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they preached. But here, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That day, see, as he was leaving, he left the Holy Spirit in them. Before that, the Holy Spirit did not live in them. And that'll explain a lot of things that you don't understand about why they didn't understand some things he said.
Right.
And this explains it. They were still natural. The natural man understands not things of the Spirit, but are spiritually discerned. Well, this time right here, they received the Holy Ghost. They were born again. And now he gives them power. He gives them authority. They had no power. They had no authority before. He sent out the 70 to preach the gospel of his being the Savior. And he gave them temporary power to heal the sick and raise the dead and do miracles. But those were not the average believer's power that we receive at salvation. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why you're not raising the dead. You can't. And we'll get more on that later. Now, so what about the Holy Ghost? Now, some people like to call him the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls him the Holy Spirit, and the Bible also calls him the Holy Ghost. Same person. Same person. Who or what is he? Who or what is the Holy Spirit? Is he a force, as Star Wars would have you to believe? Is this a force, as the Hindus would have you to believe? He's just a force out there, as the Jehovah Witness would have you to believe, as the Mormons would have you to believe, as the Seventh-day Adventists would have you to believe, as the Christian Science that would have you to believe. He's just a force that you can tap into out there. Is he that? Well, let's see. Has he power? Is he just a power, or is he a person that has power? Now, it's strange. A lot of y'all looking at me, it's strange that I talk about him as a person. But you're going to see as we read the scriptures, Jesus talked about him as a person. He's not a spook. He's not some ghost floating around out there. He's not that power that the Hindus talk about that you can tap into, or that even some Pentecostals pray about that you can pray into. He is a person that has power. Okay? Look at John chapter 16, verse 8. I want you to see, what is his work? Why is the Holy Ghost here? Why did Jesus leave the Holy Spirit here? Look at John 16, verse 8. Jesus is talking in verse 8. He says, verse 7, he's telling them he's leaving. Then in verse 7, he says, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's his work, to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, that's not his work only on us. He does that for us, but he also does other things for us as believers. But as far as the world's concerned, that's his only work, to reprove them of their sin and show them what righteousness really is, and that judgment will come. That's his work to the sinner right there. Before you were saved, when the Holy Spirit spoke to you, he spoke to you about your sin and about your judgment and about your not having the righteousness that you would need at that judgment. And that's all he talked to you about. If the preacher preached on toothpaste, you heard sin, righteousness, and judgment. If the preacher preached on the glory of the heavens, all you heard was sin, righteousness, and judgment. Right? You remember that? Because that's his job on planet Earth when dealing with sinners. Okay? Now, in Acts chapter 1:8, he told them he told the believers something. Okay? Most of you already know this. But he told them, Jesus told them as he was about to leave, he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And they were witnesses in all those places after Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, came upon them and empowered them. He said, he'll give you power to be witnesses. Because without the Holy Spirit's power in us and on us, our witness is too weak to do any good. It's just your word against somebody else. But it's like Thomas was saying a while ago, preaching this morning on thankfulness. We ought to be thankful. And as I preached that, the Lord showed him something through the power of the Holy Spirit that he needed out of that. See, he didn't hear me. He heard the Holy Ghost. See, and so that's what he does for the believer. Now turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at verse 16, 17, John chapter 14. I'm talking about what is his work. I know he's all powerful. I know he's a person of the Godhead. He is God, and he's same as God. He's equal with God. What God thinks, he thinks, and what God wills, he wills, and what God knows, he knows. John chapter 14. Look at verse 16. And I will just, Jesus talking again. And I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter. Why another? I'm leaving. I'm leaving. You need somebody else. He'll give you another comforter that you may abide with, that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit, see that, not just the thought or the feeling type spirit, but the spirit, the capital S, the person, even the spirit. You see that? Y'all understand that, don't you? Some people say, well, that man has a bad spirit. That means their attitude, the way they feel. This is talking about a person, okay? And the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. That's why the disciples couldn't receive the Holy Spirit until Jesus had resurrected from the dead. See? And because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Now he's talking to him before he breathed on him. And look at this. And shall be where? In you. Amen. Look at verse 26, I think it is. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. What things? The things he taught them. And bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So I know what his work is. His work is to convict the sinner and saint sometimes. And then his work is to draw the saint to salvation and save them. And then his work is to fill them with power that they can be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And his work is that he can be comforter and teacher and guide in the believer so that we can have and do what we need. Amen? Now that's the Holy Spirit. That's him. That's him. And did you know since it's him, it's God, you can talk to him.
Amen.
I talk to him. I walk around here. I say, Holy Spirit, I walk in and out of these pews right here. Holy Spirit, this guy's been sitting over here. He needs this. Holy Spirit, this gal's been sitting over here. She needs this. Holy Spirit, and I talk to him just like I do God because he is God. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's his work. Now I want you to see he has a personality. The Holy Spirit has a personality. He's not a firecracker. He's not just a power. He is a person. He has a personality. Turn to Romans 8, 7 first. Romans 8, 27, I think it is. Romans 8, it's one of them. I marked it. I'll find it. There it is. Romans 8, 27. And it says, well, let's just start with verse 26 so that you'll put it in context. Likewise, the Spirit, capital S, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, capital S, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, that's not unknown tongues. They're uttering unknown tongues. He's making groanings that can't be uttered by us. And what that is his spirit is communicating with our spirit, and then he communicates with God in our place. And it's things we don't even know what he's saying. Verse 27. And he searcheth the hearts, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. Now, that's his personality. He has the knowledge of the believer to pray for us. Now, that's knowledge is in a person. It's not in a power that floats around or some spook that floats around. But he has the knowledge of every believer. He knows everything about everybody in this room. And don't ask me to explain that. But he's in everybody in this room that's a believer. And he knows our hearts. He knows our minds. And he knows what to pray before we can even think or ask him.
Amen.
And then sometimes he knows what we need that we don't even know we need. And he prays for that.
Praise
in groanings that cannot even be uttered. So we know that he is a he and not just a spook or a power or a presence or an essence or a feeling. But he's a he because he has knowledge. And we also read in there that he has the knowledge of the will of God. Are y'all still with me?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to introduce you. Tonight's good the introduction. Next week I'm going to show you some things that will blow your mind. Ephesians 4:30. I said he's got knowledge, but I want to show you something else too. He has emotions.
Amen.
A spook doesn't have emotions. A power doesn't have emotions. An essence or something like that that floats around in nirvana out there. None of that has emotions. Ephesians 4:30, it says this. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That's the emotion. To grieve somebody is to hurt their feelings. He has feelings. We call that feelings, but it's emotions. He can get angry. He can get sad. He can get glad. And we can grieve the emotions of the Holy Spirit. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
And we do it. And sometimes we don't even know we're doing it until it's over. And then he lets us know. Somehow he lets us know that we have grieved him. Now, you can only grieve a person. You can't grieve a spook, okay? And you say, preacher, why do you keep saying that? But I'm telling you, so many wrong teachings on the Holy Ghost. And you turn on those TV preachers and you turn on those radio preachers and you pick up these booklets and stuff and they teach you that he's some unlimited power or he's some kind of prayer partner or something. He prays for you. He doesn't have to be your partner. He prays for you in groanings which cannot be uttered. And I have people tell me all the time, when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying in unknown tongues. And I say, I can't find that in the Bible. And they'll take me to that verse. And I said, no, that verse right there says you can't utter what he's praying. It can't come out, known or unknown. Are y'all still?
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? He's a person. He has knowledge. He has emotions. And Romans 15:30. And I know I turn faster than y'all, but it's getting late and some of these people up north got to get home and turn the air conditioning on before it gets down to 34. Danny says his wife, he slipped and turned on the air conditioning yesterday and his wife come home and she got moved around the house, got hot and said she went over and looked at the thermostat and it was set on 70. And she said, who put this on 70? I can't live this way. I'm about to burn up. Hey, man, I feel for you too. God bless you. Maybe Alaska would be a wonderful place. Romans 15:30. Listen, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit being a person, okay? Now, in Romans 15:30, he says this, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the what? The love of the Spirit. The love of the Spirit. That means that the Holy Spirit can love. He loves us. Don't you think that the part of God that sought you and drew you and got to know you before you were ever saved, don't you think that person must really love you to keep drawing when you keep saying no? Amen?
Yes.
He loves you. He's not a machine. He's not a spook. He's not an essence. He's not a power floating around out there. He is God. He's a person. And then John 15:26, you're almost there. If y'all notice cold air falls through those ducts when there ain't nothing turned on. I can feel it. Y'all feel it. Y'all must be in the Spirit. Because I'm in the flesh up here, my feet's cold. John 15:26. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall do what? Testify of me. He testifies of God. Now, here's what I don't like. And I'm not being a Pharisee, and I'm not saying these people are going to go to hell, and I'm not saying that they're infidels or cults. But I just don't like to see a tent with a sign outside that says Holy Ghost service.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just don't like that. The Holy Ghost, if you'd give him a pen, he'd change that to Jesus service.
Yeah.
Because he came to testify of Jesus, yes, not himself. And Jesus said that. He said he won't testify of himself. He'll testify of me, he said. And the things that he's done. So when the Holy Spirit is speaking, he's always speaking, trying to guide you toward the Son of God when he speaks. He never glorifies himself. So that tells me not only does the Holy Spirit have knowledge and emotion and a will and love, and not only does He teach us all things, but He testifies of the love of God and the glory of God and the Savior Jesus Christ. He never speaks about Himself. And if you're ever in a service where all they do is speak about the Holy Ghost and never mention Him glorifying the Son, you're in the wrong place. That's how cults get started. 2 Peter chapter 1, most of you already know it. Holy men of old spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. Moved. Their spirit was moved by His Spirit. You know what that tells me? He is the author of the Scriptures.
Amen.
He is the author. He moved these men to write down the words that God wanted them to write down. He moved them by His power and by His presence. And look, went to Bible college and they told us three different kinds of theories on Bible inspiration. And one of them they called mechanical inspiration. Another one they called, I forget what they called it, but what it meant was that the thought is what God inspired, not the words. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, whoa. A lot of people's got wrong thoughts. And they said, well, God inspired the thoughts. I said, yeah, but what about the next translator into my language? Well, no, that's why it's got mistakes in it. He only moved the first ones. Ain't that the dumbest thing you ever heard to come out of a man that claims to be teaching the Bible? Here's what I said. He said, well, you fundamentalists, you believe in word for word inspiration. You believe in mechanical dictation. God said it and He wrote it down. I said, there it is right there. You got it. You got it right there. God said it. He wrote it. The Holy Ghost of God moved that man to write down that word, that comma, that period, whatever it might be. God, the Holy Ghost, wrote that through that man. Amen?
Amen.
If you think anything else than that, then you're going to leave the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to go into people's feelings and emotions, and that's where you get these messed up translations from. God didn't inspire thought. He inspired words.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And listen, the real Bible believer believes in the verbally inspired word of God. That means every word. Plenary, verbally inspired word of God. That means every word, every jot, every tittle. We believe every bit of it was moved by the Holy Ghost on that man to write it down. Amen. Amen.
You
took up my preaching there now. You better go down yonder and preach that. That's my line. Right. Didn't you write that down sometime, Jibber? That's mine. I got a copyright on that one, okay? Amen. The Holy Ghost didn't inspire you to do that. Listen, not only does He have knowledge, not only does He have emotion, not only does He have a will, not only does He have love, not only does He teach, not only does He testify, not only is the author of the Scriptures, but turn to 2 Corinthians 13, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. Now I'm talking about the personality, the person of the Holy Ghost. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, receive means that He's come in. He's come in. Now, we're going to get to Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and all those that the Pentecostals like to throw around. We'll get on them next week and we'll see how they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, how they were filled in the Holy Ghost and things like that. But tonight, I want you to meet the person of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, if I got my verse right. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Now, here's the Trinity. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. That word communion, it means a time that we can sit down and talk, communicate. That's where that word gets from, comes from. We call this the communion table, because this is the time that we remember and God speaks to us about the death, the burial, the resurrection, the blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus, and he communicates with us through that. That's why we call it the communion. And we call it Lord's Supper because he was the first one to do it. But we call it communion because that's a time that he communicates these thoughts to us about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the shedding of his blood and the resurrection of his body. And it says here that God the Father and God the Son both have a part, but the Holy Ghost does too, and his part is in communion with us. He's the great communicator. He's the one that speaks to us.
Yes.
He's the one that still small voice, like he said, sometimes out loud. Now, years ago, if you said that, I'd said you was a Pentecostal, but I've experienced that one time. I've experienced God spoke to me one time out loud. And a lot of people do. And I've never seen God. You hadn't either. No man can see God and live. You die. You're not holy enough to see him. But you can hear God. And, once in an old store building when we started Victory Baptist Church, we had, I was preaching, I was teaching, I had a bus I was driving, Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I'd pick up about 25, 35 kids, man, I was doing everything. I working a full-time job and, doing all the visitations, I was wore out. And I got feeling sorry for myself. And I was sitting in a little office about like what I had over yonder. And not more like this little thing back here I started out in. And, I was feeling sorry for myself one day and I was praying. I said, God, I gotta have some help. I'm tired. I got to have some help. Lord, you're gonna have to send me some help or I'm gonna die, God. Please help me. Please send some people to help me. You said pray and you'd send forth laborers into the harvest. And Lord, I'm doing everything. Lord, help me now. Please help me. And I heard somebody say, they're coming. And I was sitting in the office by myself, but the door was open. And there's a little hallway down through there. And on the other side of the hallway was sanctuary. And I thought, well, somebody's out there listening to me pray. So I got up and I walked out and there wasn't nobody in the hallway. So I walked up the hallway, walked around that wall and looked in the sanctuary. There wasn't nobody in the sanctuary. And I thought, well, that's my imagination. And I went back and I got to praying and I was praying and crying. About 10 minutes later, somebody said, they're coming. Just like that. They're coming. Just like that. Like it was on the microphone or something. And I went, chill bumps run up and down my back. The hair stood up on the back of my head and on my arms, you know. And I'm sitting there and I'm, glory to God. Glory. That was God. Glory to God. God. They're coming. Hallelujah. They're coming. I walked out there just to make sure. I looked up and down the hall. Wasn't nobody there. And I walked over that wall and I looked around that wall. Wasn't nobody there. And I said, they're coming. They're coming. Glory to God, they're coming. And I ran up and down the hall and I started beating on the wall and I said, they're coming. Praise God, they're coming. Amen, they're coming. And I went out there in the sanctuary and I ran up and down the wall and I was beating on the wall. They're coming. They're coming. Thank you, Jesus. They're coming. And I was crying and I got back to the back wall and I forgot we built that wall. It wasn't nothing but 2x4s and paneling. And I went back there, they're coming! They're coming! After about 2 hits, I hit a spot, didn't have a 2x4. My fist went through the wall. And I pulled the wall, hey, they're coming! Glory to God! I hung a picture over that thing, never did get big. They're coming! I went there and got cranked. And sure enough, next Sunday, people started coming, started volunteering, drive a bus, start another bus route. Then more came, start another bus route. And then more came, choir leader, and then more came. And it just got gooder and gooder.
Amen.
And sometimes God will do that. He'll speak to you out loud sometimes. But now, if it's something bad, it wasn't God. I'll go ahead and tell you. God's not going to do that. But the Holy Spirit, listen, He is our communicator. If you know the Holy Spirit, if you know Him. Now, a lot of people don't know Him. You won't believe me, but a lot of people don't know Him. They've never met Him. They've never thought of Him like this. And I preach this, and they call me Baptist-costal. They said, well, you sound like a Baptist because you believe in eternal security and baptism, but you preach like a Pentecostal. And I said, well, they're coming. But he communicates. And if, look, if you'll meet him, he'll communicate with you. Here's what you need to do. Y'all listening? You need to get off by yourself sometimes. I mean by yourself. Get out in the woods somewhere. Get out behind your house or or when your husband or wife ain't home, get in the bedroom by yourself and say, I'm not coming out until God touches me. I'm not coming out until God's real. And start praying. And if you have that mindset, it won't be but a few minutes. You'll feel his presence.
Amen.
You hear me? Yeah, I've done it over and over and over. You say, well, I ain't good enough. Well, I ain't either.
Right.
You say, well, I've failed so many times. I have too. All of us have.
Right.
But if you'll get along with God and say, Holy Spirit, I want you to talk to me. I need to know you better. Now, you may not hear a voice that day, but you'll hear a still small voice. You'll have comfort from it before you leave that room.
Yes.
But then as you begin to read the scriptures, he'll start talking to you. First time I ever did that, I wasn't even a preacher yet, and I started reading the scriptures. I heard John Rice talking about the Holy Ghost and the things that he did in his services. I heard Jack Hiles talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. My mother-in-law had me watching Jimmy Swaggart. I heard he's a pretty good old preacher, and other than the tongues and losing your salvation and others, you know. And I'd read books, and I'd go to the library and get books of these great preachers, D.L. Moody, and I wasn't even a preacher, and Spurgeon and Whitfield and all that. And every one of them had an experience, a personal experience with the Holy Ghost. Every one of them did. And that's what gave them the power that they had. And then after I did that, I prayed. I'm serious. I got in my room one day, and I said, God, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said, this guy over here at First Assembly says I need to talk like a baby, and so I'm going to try it, Lord. I went, and the Holy Spirit said, I didn't hear it, but I felt like he said, no, that ain't it. I said, well, old John R. Rice said I'm to do it by faith and ask you to fill me with your spirit and then get up and act like it. And he'd do the word. I said, so God, I'm just going to trust you. And did you know every time I'd read the scripture after that, my name was in it? He'd be talking to Moses. Moses' name, I heard it Ron. I'd be reading about David, but my name was what I kept thinking. And that's how I was called to preach. And then after I surrendered to preach, every time I go to preach, I'd say, Lord, you're going to fill me with your Holy Spirit because I don't know what I'm doing. And nobody's here to tell me. I had preachers that never told me a thing. They'd be happy to preach to me, but they didn't disciple me. One of my pastors came to me and said, you're preaching at the Chain Gang this week, and you'll probably be doing it from now on. Go out there and do it. And I said, I don't know how to do that. He said, just go do it. I said, well, who's going to be leading the scene? He said, you are. I said, who's going to open up? He said, you are. I said, who's going to close it out? He said, you are. I said, who's going to show me how? He said, the Lord will show you how. Just go do it. I did it. And then I had that same preacher told me, he said, you're going to be preaching at Army Reserve this week. You'll probably be preaching at it once a month because I used to do it and I'm too tired to do it. And it's our church's duty to do it. So you're going to be doing it. And I said, well, who's going to lead it? He said, you are. I said, who's going to sing? He said, the Rochester family. I got that one was good. But I just go and preach. I just go and preach. And then I'd preach it, go to the jailhouse and preach. And every time I'd go in, I'd say, Lord, I can't do this without you. And you know what? I saw people saved every time I'd preach. I remember one time at the Army Reserve, and they were black men. Big old black men. The Army Reserve full of big black men. And they intimidated me, a little skinny preacher boy. And before I went in there, before I walked across the street, I said, God, I can't be a powerless preacher. I can't go in here with these guys and not have your power. Holy Ghost, you gotta help me. And I went in there and I led the singing pitifully. And then I preached. And listen, I didn't feel any different than I had the other times. But that day, it was either 12 or 13 men got saved that day. Now that wasn't me, that's the Holy Ghost does that. But what you gotta do, you gotta invite him. You gotta ask him, fill me, come into me, Holy Ghost. Speak to me, speak through me, work through me. See, our problem is we want to look at him as a power. As some unseen power that floats around like that cloud of smoke used to float through your house when you smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day. That's the way most people want to see him. But listen, he's not just a power. He's powerful, but he's loving. He's knowledgeable. He has a will. He teaches. He testifies. He's the author of the scriptures. He communicates for God to us and through us. Now I'm going to preach this series. I've probably got three sermons in all, maybe four. And I'm going to show you some things that the Holy Ghost did in the Old Testament and New Testament. And I'm going to help you to see some error that people are teaching. But I'm going to teach you some things that will really, you might not believe yourself. Meet the Holy Ghost. Here's my challenge. If you're not saved this week, ask the Holy Ghost to reveal Christ to you. He'll do it. If you are saved, ask the Holy Ghost to reveal himself to you. Himself. He'll do it. Amen. And you know what will happen after he does it? You'll find yourself talking more about the Lord.
Right.
See, you can't do it in the flesh. But if the Holy Ghost is in you and with you and on you, that's all he wants to talk about.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your energy.